I have the Lieutenant Governor on the line with us. How are you doing this morning, Lieutenant Governor Glenn McConnell?
I'm doing fine, Ann. How you doing?
I'm doing good. We've got the government back open, so I guess everything is going to be rolling along, huh?
I guess it is. Up there in Washington, we've been rolling along here in South Carolina.
I know. In fact, one of the things I wanted to ask you, any effects on the seniors or anything with Medicare or whatever while the government was shut down, Glenn?
Really not on Medicare, and there was really no effect that I'm aware of on seniors. There was some apprehension and some concerns, but nothing real that that affected the Medicare program at this particular hour. Of course, the whole thing up there, they shouldn't have, in my opinion, gotten involved in something like that unless they had an end game plan.
Right, and I think that's the thing that it kind of, what shall we say, it fizzled in the end for all the hype that it went through.
Exactly, and the sad part is it gave cover for the president about the failures of the Obamacare program.
Sure.
The inadequacies of it, the inadequate computer system. The real fact here is a constitutional question. No president, no chief executive, governor, or president has the right under the constitutions of this country to turn around and delay implementation of something unless that's given to him by Congress and in the law. And secondly, how is it under equal protection of the law that the chief executive can give exemptions to a particular law? I felt like they should have been debating and holding his feet to the fire over that. For whether you're for or against Obamacare, the precedents are terrible.
Absolutely. And I know as a strict constitutionalist, this had to really bother you.
It did, Anne. You're exactly right. And I just couldn't understand why, for instance, the House of Representatives, Speaker of the House, when I was President Pro Tem of the Senate, if I thought the Chief Executive was trouncing on the Constitution, I took him to court. And they should have, if they were going to take to task this thing, in my opinion, they should have taken the President to court and challenged his constitutional authority to be doing what he's doing.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. It just
and that's a separate issue from the constitutionality of Obamacare. That was a whole different thing. This is a case of whether or not under the Constitution a chief executive can exempt people from the law under, when we have an equal protection. The only way people can be treated under the law is if there's a reasonable basis for a classification that's different. It has to have a rational basis inside of public policy. It just can't be that people say, well, the law is inconvenient to me. And secondly, you know, it's his law, and if it's defective, it's bad. You know, one way to get rid of it is to put it in effect, and the public will elect people to change the law. But you just can't change the law by cutting off the money, because it is the law of the land.
Well, that is a big problem with what President Obama is doing on a lot of different issues. He's taking executive order and just changing the course.
Exactly, and that's where they need to hold his feet to the fire. And you control one house of the legislature, the president, in this case, the Speaker of the House and the House of Representatives, they need to be taking him to court. They need to stand up for the Constitution.
Absolutely. I think you've got a point there. I don't know why they didn't go that route rather than the route that that they went up there. But that's there. This is here. We made it through, and of course now we have other issues to talk about. And how is senior care coming?
Well, Anne, it is coming along. We were down in the lower part of the state yesterday looking at a volunteer operation, a neighbor-to-neighbor operation that involves senior transportation. I wanted to learn about its liability setups and everything else to see how we can duplicate that effort across the state to help that. We were able this year to get additional funding from the legislature to handle home and community-based programs. That's meal deliveries to shut-ins. But sadly, the federal government turned around and cut us $1.7 million under the federal sequestration. Amazing that that's where they had to make the cut with all of the fluff and that they've got in federal government. But that would have put over 1,600 seniors out of the meal delivery. So out of the 3 million, 1.7 is used to backfill the cuts to keep them that meal a day going to those seniors in their homes. The other place we had a big success is in respite care. We have over 770,000 individuals across South Carolina giving care to loved ones. It could be adult children with disabilities. It could be their parents. It could be their spouses. And respite care, particularly with Alzheimer's, is very important because the caregiver gets sick. They have to go to a doctor, and yet they don't feel they don't have the resources or the money to leave their loved one alone. Respite care gives them the break and also gives them the ability to keep their budget balanced and go do that for the reason that if these people give up, if they burn out, the cost of the state will go into the billions because these people will migrate very quickly to Medicaid nursing beds at $52,000 a year. So the respite care was a $3 million program. Sadly, it got vetoed. Happily, the grassroots organizations, Alzheimer's and family units and everything, the AARP, everybody helped us override the vetoes. And so respite care is a program in South Carolina, and that represents two significant steps forward. Along the way, we're also doing this prescription drug take-back day across South Carolina on October the 26th. The DEA does that twice a year. We're part of that, and the first question, I guess, to listeners would be, why is that important from a senior standpoint? It's real important because seniors take painkillers, and painkillers are the target of abuse in the black market and with folks who will take these drugs. Secondly, if they have unused drugs, they will get them confused with their good drugs. And thirdly, as seniors, we like to be good citizens, and that is that this stuff doesn't need to get into the water supply and stuff. It can be handled and done away with. The last prescription drug take-back campaign, over 4,700 pounds of pills.
That's a lot of pills, Glenn. That's a lot of pills.
That sure is a lot of pills, isn't it? And we kept those out of the streets in 29 states now. More people die from using illegally or wrongfully using prescription drug overdoses. More people die in 29 states from that than they do from auto wrecks.
That is phenomenal. And you know, the other thing is that that we really need to talk a little bit about is keeping your drugs safe so that somebody else doesn't get them while they're good.
Exactly. According to some statistics that I've gotten, first of all, in South Carolina, the mortality rate since 1999 has tripled. But a survey that was done by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration revealed that 70% of the people who are abusing prescription and pain relievers got them through the medicine cabinets of friends and relatives. Isn't that phenomenal?
It is. And, you know, you used to think of your medicine cabinet as sacred, right? Nobody would go in there and take it, but now that's just common practice.
It sadly is a problem, and particularly for seniors, people who might be in the home or whatever. And so for seniors, this is a wonderful opportunity for us to contribute to solving this problem. The state has got some initiatives in this area, but it is very important that we go forward with that, and people there in Greenwood, it's my understanding that Lowe's is where the sheriff has set up for this Saturday, I believe it is,
right.
For prescription drug take-back. The Greenwood County Sheriff's Office, it's the Lowe's at the 513 Bypass, 72 Northwest.
Right. That'll be going on from 8 o'clock to 1 o'clock right here in Greenwood. But, you know, what should a senior do who doesn't have the ability to get up there? This is what I was thinking about, Glenn. What should they do?
You know, that is a good question, and perhaps one of the things we need to look at is an initiative through our volunteers to collect and take this stuff. It may be too late this year, but that question says that we need to do some improvements in the process, and we will. But that is one way they can help, and it could be that they have somebody, a friend or a family member, that can take it up there.
Absolutely. But, you know, you think about all the shut-ins that they serve during Meals on Wheels and this type of thing, and then you think about the medications and whatnot. So that would be something that really needs to be addressed.
It does. And we're, like I said, I'm the first one to admit I'm on a learning curve on this job, but the question poses a very good thing that I think we need to look at how we improve and do outreach for next year. And it may be some grassroots or our volunteers, senior centers, and others to collect and to dispose of.
You know, one of the things that I was reading on our list here, they also will take pet medication will be disposed
that
of.
That is correct. Because you have pet medications, they're painkillers and antibiotics and other things. And drugs, you know, a doctor, when he prescribes drugs to you, ask what else you're taking, and they look. And you go and mix stuff that you got no business mixing. That's how these mortality tables are rising, because we're having fatalities from that.
Absolutely. So this will be a very good event. I know, you know, Glenn, when you took this job as Lieutenant Governor, you were kind of sad to give up the post that you had in the Senate there, but how are you feeling about it now?
Well, Ann, I have enjoyed doing what I'm doing. That's why I took the time yesterday to go to the Myrtle Beach area and talk with the folks that had organized the charity on the Neighbor to Neighbor, and we're running that. It's about how do we give a helping hand to seniors across the state. And I hope that my tenure as Lieutenant Governor improves the lot for seniors. So I feel blessed at this point to have had a chance to step in and to work on this and try to make a change. And that's what a Lieutenant Governor ought to be doing. It's about seniors, and it's about adults with disabilities. They have not had a voice at the front door out there with all of the lobbyists. And it is a growing segment of this population. On your show before, we talked about the gray tsunami.
Right.
That's how I learned about it, what was coming. I've tried to roll up my sleeves, get in here, make a change for it, and I feel like I'm accomplishing something. When I look and see the General Assembly discussing aging issues, I see aging issues coming now to the forefront, coalitions, people beginning to understand we got to get our arms around this. I feel good about it. And so you ask me, I'm no longer the sad person I was the first day I walked into this office.
Well, Glenn, does that mean that you're going to be running for the next term?
Well, I am in the one of the things I've done is very carefully not announced as a formal candidate for the reason that in order to get this job done, I don't need to be out campaigning yet. That's the hardest thing before me, is that I'm probably going to have a primary thrown on me in a general election, and if I have to divert a lot of time away from getting this done, that's one of the things I've been struggling with. But I have moved a little over $250,000 of campaign money into my account to get ready. There are some other opportunities for me, and I would be less than honest if I didn't say that. I don't know that they would come to pass. So right now, I'm planning to run for re-election.
Absolutely. Well, Lieutenant Governor Glenn McConnell, I always enjoy having you on the show. You always bring us great information, and I really know that so many seniors appreciate the fact that you are in that job.
Well, thank you, Anna. I appreciate that. Let me tell you, we feel like we're making a difference in this state. And I hope that people realize that the road up ahead for me is I got to decide here whether or not to roll up and get into campaign mode or stay fixed on this job. That's one of the things I'm struggling with, is it which way is better for the seniors at this particular hour and for me. I do have the possibility of another opportunity, but I would be able to finish this job if I decided to take that opportunity. But I just right now have not made up my mind. I'm going to stay fixed on seniors and moving forward, and that's why I say my focus is right now on seniors and will then be on re-election unless something else happens.
I understand. Well, thanks so much for calling us this morning, Lieutenant Governor Glenn McConnell. God bless and good luck, and keep our seniors in the forefront there.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate that.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.